Hey, everybody.
Hey, man.
Rick and Rob, how you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. We just want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Glad you are here, man. Glad everybody that's listening is here.
It's just a blessed time of year.
It is. It is. How's your holidays? How are they?
They were good. They were good. You know, we went to, well, you knew I had COVID over my birthday,
yeah,
right?
Right. Yeah, I'm supposed to be here, remember?
I know. It's my 50th birthday, and the day before, Linda had to call 40 people and cancel.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting on the couch, and I told Rebecca, I said, well, scratch going to Rick and Linda's.
Yeah. Rick got COVID. We went to the Crater of the Diamond State Park in Arkansas.
Really?
Have you ever heard of it?
I have.
I had never really heard of it before. I guess it was like, you know, it was something that Linda and her mom have wanted to do for a very long time.
Now, isn't that over by Nashville, Arkansas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, which is crazy. It's about 30 minutes away from Nashville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But so you go and you dig for diamonds. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like when you go into the park, it says it's the eighth largest diamond reserve in the world.
Wow.
And, you know, I think somebody had found like a 42 karat diamond.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so like there's actual diamonds there, right?
Right.
Somebody found like the world's only perfectly flawed diamond, no flaws, right?
Unflawed.
Perfect, unflawed. And, wow. And it's actually on display there. You can go see it. So we went there, uh-huh. Which was awesome, you know, to be able to have Linda and her mom do something kind of on her mom's bucket list, right?
Right. Did you find any diamonds?
She got a bunch of stuff. I didn't dig for them. It's not my deal.
You don't like dirt on your fingernails.
Well, I was actually working.
Yeah.
Right. So we took the.
Oh, I remember you saying you were going to work. Yeah.
Yeah. We took the RV. And so while they were digging, I was working during the week. Right.
Right.
You know, and so I drove down on a weekend and set it all up. And then, you know, they came down on that Friday or Saturday. But that was kind of the whole Arctic blast came.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So, you know, I think one day, like Hot Springs, Arkansas, I guess, is a big deal too. Right?
Oh, it's huge. I have an uncle that we go there. That's where we go for Memorial Day for our family.
Okay. Well, I didn't know anything about it either.
Really?
Right. I know. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you're from out of.
I'm sheltered. Man, I grew up in Utah. Where there's real national parks.
Great big one.
But so one day, like on Saturday, we drove up to Hot Springs and went up to the top of the mountain, the elevator up to however far it is, you know.
I can't remember how far it is, yeah.
It's 12,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
Now, that's not how high the elevator is, but, you know.
Right.
280 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
And drove around and had a good old time, and then they dug for diamonds. But then, you know, that Arctic blast came in and we're in a camper.
Yeah, things changed drastically, you know, in the camper.
Now, I'm gonna say I was pleasantly surprised, you know. Like
It is a four season. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When it got down to like negative, it was zero and, you know, felt like negative 10 or something
right,
like that, right?
Right.
We had the heat on like 68 mm-hmm. in the camper. And it kept at about 55.
That's reasonable.
Right. So then I just turned on the furnace or the gas fire, the propane fireplace, not right. propane, electric fireplace. And then that just heated it up too. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we didn't have any pipes break. We didn't.
Praise the Lord.
Had no water freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Had hot water. Was taking showers. Now I took precautions. Right. Like.
Right.
Even though I have a heated hose, I filled up my water tank.
Right.
I disconnected the hose. Like there's just some.
Yeah. There's some things you got to do.
Like. Oh, I got a heated hose.
Don't be dumb. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. So that was cool. But then we had to come home.
Right.
We were planning on coming home the 23rd.
Today. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was sketchy.
Yeah. So we came home. What I did was I looked at the kind of weather and the radar. So we left Arkansas at like 10 a.m. on the 23rd.
Uh-huh. Good call.
And drove to Brownsville, Kentucky, or Brownsville, Tennessee. So in between Memphis and Jackson.
Right. I know where you're at.
We got there about 2:30.
That's not bad time.
Right? Booked an RV park for one night.
Mm-hmm.
Hooked my heater up. Right? Stayed the night there because mm-hmm. I didn't want to be out on the roads when the sun goes down.
Right. No, you don't.
Right? Even though it may have been cold, the sun still helps with the ice.
It does.
Right?
It does.
And then, so we stayed the night, got up Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
and left Tennessee, Brownsville, Tennessee, probably 9:30.
Okay.
Right? There was a couple areas that were a little sketchy getting back to the interstate. Mm-hmm. And so Linda and I had walkie-talkies. So she was in her SUV and I was in, you know, towing it with the truck. Mm-hmm. And she'd just get to the top of a hill out in the middle of the country where this RV park was. And I'd say, just make sure and no cars are coming. So, because I'm not stopping.
Right.
And I'm going to be right in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Because that was the safest place.
Right.
And so once we got back to the interstate, it was fine. Got back to the Kentucky park about 2:30.
Christmas Man, you Eve. Didn't make bad time at all.
No, it wasn't bad. And, you know, I was only doing like 65.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what the weather, I wasn't going to go faster than that. But
well, anytime I hook my camper up to my truck, I'm in vacation mode.
Yeah. I don't like to drive more than 300 miles a day.
Yeah.
You know, I want to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Could I? Yeah. When we did the Arizona trip, we
– Yeah.
One day we did like 600 miles or something, 560 miles.
That's a long way to be towing a camper.
It about killed me.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've done a 600-800 mile day on a motorcycle.
Well, that's different, right?
It's different. Yeah. You're not. Yeah.
It's different. You got it.
Completely different.
You know, 9-foot wide camper.
Yeah.
Barely staying in the lanes.
Exactly.
Road construction.
Yeah. And wind blowing you all over the place.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
So, look, today we want to talk about people's testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk about the importance of the testimony to them.
Yeah.
And I have found in my life that my testimony is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when I feel like people don't understand the blessing that they're getting when you tell it to them.
Right.
So how do you, like, how do you deal with that when you're listening to somebody's testimony?
Well, first of all, you got to realize that no matter what you've come from in your life.
Yeah.
If you have been a church mouse all of your life.
Yeah.
Or you've been somebody that's, you know, wild and crazy like we were.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a testimony of some kind. And the importance of that testimony to that person, let me answer your question by telling you how I deal with it. So I have to understand, first of all, that person is willing enough to open up a portion of their life or a segment of their life that gives glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I look at it as what God has done in someone's life to take them from point A to point B safely and grow them in the process at the same time.
Yeah.
So that story and that process of going from point A to point B can be a strength to somebody, a source of hope and encouragement. And if I can gain something from that, no matter what the story is, then I am better off.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if they give me permission to say, well, let me tell you what Sharon over here.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, or you know, Joy Bag of Donuts over here is let me tell you what God did for him. What
absolutely.
God can do for you.
Yeah. I feel like I think I did this right early, you know, in my walk is that I didn't understand the magnitude of somebody telling me their testimony.
So let me back up just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Why do you think that we don't grasp what that magnitude is?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know how to answer that.
Is it because, and this is my thought on it.
Yeah.
Okay. My thought on it is because we are so engrossed in things like real crime television.
Yeah.
Or the movie that can blow up the most.
Yeah.
You know, or the news story at on the 6 o'clock news that shows the most gore and blood and is the most devastating, that we overlook the things that devastated people in their everyday life.
I think so. But I think I absolutely think that's part of it, right?
Right.
Or for a lot of people, that might be the only reason, right?
Sure.
But I think for me, you know, even though I had kind of went through this process and this walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly heard God, right? Like, this is mm-hmm. what's got to do this.
Right.
Right? I don't know that I accepted it completely. And so my testimony wasn't powerful to me.
Oh, I get it. Right? I see what you're saying.
Right? So if my own testimony wasn't powerful enough to me,
mm-hmm.
is theirs really powerful enough?
So
right. Now I'm not saying it was, you know, I'm just being transparent.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because
which is what we do.
What you knew. Yeah. Right?
But completely unfair to them.
Yes.
Right. And 100% wrong for me to feel that way.
Right.
But I'm just saying when at that point, and now that I know, you know, it's been years since I've learned this, but now that I know what my testimony means to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear people's testimony.
Exactly.
I want to know that moment that God transformed them.
Right.
Because it's a moment. Now, there's a whole bunch of transformation that occurs.
Sure.
And throughout your walk, you should hear and listen and do and feel all kinds of great things that will contribute to your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe there was a point in time.
I do. I do. And I think that we get wrapped up too many times in trying to look for more Damascus Road experiences.
Absolutely, yeah.
Instead of Philip and the eunuch.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just explain it to me. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
And what's keeping me from being baptized right now? Nothing. Right here.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know? Right. Or, you know, Paul's on the way to, you know, murder and torture, and this great light shows upon him, and he, you know,
blinds him,
and then he's got to go to a guy that he doesn't trust, you know, or
a guy that doesn't trust him.
Doesn't trust him, but at the same time is somebody who is out of Paul's comfort zone at the same time,
right?
You know,
right?
And so, or Saul at the time,
that's right.
But we look for all those gory details. You know, and we've talked a couple of times about how we've been taught to condense things down to a little 3 to 4 minute, you know,
yeah,
God good, devil bad,
yeah,
or, you know, however yeah. you want to put it out there, so that we can show that hope and encouragement. But at the same time, when somebody gets full blown with what their testimony is,
yeah,
and is wanting to be vulnerable, accountable, and transparent in sharing that, no matter what that testimony contains.
Right.
Being willing to recognize the moment of change and being willing to celebrate that, I think makes us I think it makes us more unified in the body of Christ.
I think it does. You know, I've heard people say, you know, like that we're lifelong Christians, right? They've never strayed from the faith.
Right.
They knew from the time they were seven, right? This is where it's going to be. I've said before that I believe that takes more faith.
Yeah.
That it may sound crazy, but to just be like, I'm 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
I'm following Christ, and to faithfully follow your whole life, and now you're like 50 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Never strayed. Old dudes like us.
Old dudes like us. You've never strayed.
Yeah.
You didn't have that Damascus Road moment.
Right.
Right? That to me is a testimony.
A huge testimony.
I want to hear all the steps along the way.
Right.
I want to spend time understanding, how were you so strong?
Yeah, right. I
want to pick up that strength.
I want it from somewhere.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you can tell me I was strong because
mm-hmm.
I didn't need to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Yeah, that's massive. Right? That's massive. And when we come across those kinds of things, and we hear those stories, and we hear those things, and we get that answer of this is how I did it. Do we always use that as a life application for us?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
And why do you think not? Because it's not cool enough?
I think that's how it worked for you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
My life's different or.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't do that or.
I think a lot of times we hear those kind of things and we ask those questions and get those answers and then go, I already do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's been plenty of times I thought, well, I do that every day.
Yeah. But am I doing it well enough every day?
That's right. That's right.
Am I doing it to a point to where I'm actually getting the strength that I'm looking for by doing this?
Yeah. How do you honor the time that somebody spends when they're giving you their testimony?
I think that's a huge difference between listening and hearing.
I agree.
I think you can define that by honoring that time, the difference in listening and hearing.
Yeah. I think you can too. I think it's so imperative to listen and be present with what they're telling you.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Not just, let me tell you mine.
Right.
Right? Because I think far too often I think that happens. I think people are like, wow, that was an amazing testimony. Let me tell you mine.
Yeah. And that's because of a one-up pat me on the back.
Keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can never, ever, 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 ever outdo God.
Ever.
And so anytime you hear somebody's testimony and they were, you know, they've been saved since 7 or 8 or, you know, and they have continued to walk this path. And you have this comparison of a life versus someone who at the age of 40 or at the age of 30 or 18 at a Campus Crusade for Christ, you know.
Right.
Conference or whatever, who realize later in life their need for their Savior.
Yeah.
And you compare those two stories, you're not doing justice to what God can do. You're not giving credit to what God does.
Absolutely. You're absolutely not.
And right. and if you have more, if you give more credence, we'll say, to the testimony of the one that was a bad guy, you know, a sinner that was, you know, that was that lived a life of you know, indulging in worldly things versus somebody who has led a life of Christ all of their life.
Right.
You are I honestly don't think that your motive in being unified in the body of Christ is pure.
Mm.
And that's harsh to say.
It's very harsh to say.
But it's harsher to be accused of it.
Yeah. I agree. It's hard.
It really is.
So how
I know we're going with it. How do you get around it?
Yeah.
How do you keep from doing it?
How do you overcome it? How do you not do it? It's hard. It's
very hard.
It's hard, right? We talked about doing this subject. We haven't prepared for it.
No.
Right? We just said, look, this is an important thing to talk about.
Right. So let's just do it.
And so let's just do it, you know. And I could go find scripture about, you know, testimonies and listening and walking with God and doing all these things, right? But so can everybody else.
Right.
Right. Everybody else can go find the same scriptures. We all have Google.
Yeah.
Right. But every day in your life, somebody that you come across is going to have a testimony of their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that testimony, I would bet, has changed their life drastically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And because of the drastic nature of that change,
mm-hmm.
you should be honored that they're willing to have that conversation with you.
Exactly. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I just don't think we are. I don't think we are a lot of times because we're waiting to say, like you said, right, one up them. Well, mm-hmm. let me tell you my testimony.
Mm-hmm. But we've conditioned ourselves to that point.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have.
And social media just
deteriorates it.
Puts it even farther, right?
Right.
You know, how many likes can I get?
Right.
How many smileys? How many hearts or shares or
yeah,
whatever?
I think because we put too many, and we've all heard the saying, yeah. you know, too many cooks spoil the stew or,
yeah.
you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think we want more ingredients into what we are.
Yeah.
So that we have a higher representation of ourselves to ourselves.
Yeah.
So that others recognize it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And I think we don't recognize because we want recognition, we don't recognize purity.
Yeah.
Any longer.
Yeah. I agree.
As a general whole. Not and I'm not saying none of us recognize purity. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying in this situation that we've been talking about with this topic with testimonies.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic, right? Because, you know, you spend your life
mm-hmm.
Trying to understand, like, why am I here?
Yeah.
What am I doing, right?
Right.
Well, you and I are in a position that we know why we're here.
Yep.
Right. And we know why everybody's here. They may not accept it.
That's the thing. They probably right? don't accept it, but we know what the reason that you're alive.
That's right. They're alive and they're here because that's what God planned.
Right.
Right. Right.
Because He loved you.
That's right. It was all part of His plan for love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to just recognize that, and we need to, you know, we've said it a couple times, we need to honor that relationship that people have.
Right.
And honor what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe ask some questions about it.
I don't see why you shouldn't ask
questions. You know, when somebody's saying, like, here's my testimony, you should be able to go, praise God, tell me more.
Yeah.
What did that feel like?
Right. Right.
Right.
How'd you make it through your junior prom? You know, and
right.
Right. Yeah. How do you, and I think because we don't want to change our method.
Yeah.
We don't ask those questions.
Yeah. You know whose testimony I love to hear? I've listened to it several times is Byrne.
Who?
Byrne.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Right. He's been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
You know, I saw him give it another time before. I was there when he was baptized.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And the passion that he has for saying, look, I was not a good person.
Mm-mm.
Right? I felt like I was at a hole in my chest.
Yeah.
I was empty.
Yeah.
And let me tell you a story.
Yeah. And he starts off with the wreck that I was in my life.
That's right. That's right. The wreck that I was.
And I haven't seen him in a while. Where's he at?
He's doing he's so busy. He's in two bands. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah, he's a drummer.
I knew he was a drummer.
And one of the bands is Defiant Mechanism.
Okay.
I'll send you a link to their stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a heavy metal band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what he is. And I've asked him about it one time. I'm like, well, how do you, you know, you're in a heavy metal band and you're kind of walking with Christ. He said, look, I'm there and it doesn't sway me. Mm-hmm. He says, but I get to talk about God with them.
Amen.
He said, so the clubs or the places that I play, I might be the only Christian.
Yeah.
He said, but I get to talk about God. I was like, well, praise God, right? Like that's what it's – and so he's doing the same thing that we're doing, just in a different venue.
Right.
Right? He sends me all the stuff about, like, you know, here's where we're playing and, you know, he texted me on Christmas, said Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great guy.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I'd love for him to start riding again.
I would too.
You know, it'd be good.
It would. It really would.
I think he hasn't said it, but maybe he's just afraid of getting back into that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for some people.
It really is.
Right? When you're running really, really hard.
When you're running that hard. And he ran hard for a long, long, long time.
He's burned for a reason.
Yeah, he is.
Right.
He is. And I remember the first time I heard his testimony. And it was one of those he basically we had a podium set up at the front of the
It was at the LOJ meeting, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's I went we were there.
Oh,
me
you
and,
were there.
Me and
That's
Linda
right.
were there.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. And he gripped the front of this podium and just leans on it with his elbow.
Yeah.
And just takes off.
At like headstrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was one of those you obviously knew it was an aha moment.
Right.
And it was something that his whole body language in telling it, though.
Everything about it. I'll never forget. After he was baptized, about a month later was the Easy Rider Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had went to the Easy Rider Convention.
Was that pre-fight or is that after fight? That was pre-fight. That was a year before the fight, wasn't it?
I think it was a year before.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
We had went to the Easy Rider show and we're, you know, hanging out with him. Right.
Yeah.
And, he's showing people the video
of his baptism. Yeah.
Right. He's like, check this out. Right. He's so excited about it. And, you know, somebody asked him, I don't remember who it was, but somebody from a club was like, really?
Yeah.
What's going on? He's like, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Right then. And so him and I were talking, and he was like, look, they have to listen to me. He says, you're a member of the God Squad.
Yeah.
They're my brothers.
Mm.
They have to listen to me.
They have to listen.
I thought, praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's how impactful somebody's testimony can be, right? When you think about it, I remember him standing at that podium. I remember him gripping it. I remember him walking out in front of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At the LOJ meeting.
Yeah.
Santa Fe. Right?
Yeah. Giving Santa Fe. Steak, yeah.
Cattle company, right?
The cattle company steakhouse, yeah.
And, you know, Linda was like, oh, Lord, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's loved him ever since.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, then have him over and he was on the podcast and we talked about his testimony and some of the things that he's doing now. And it just hasn't changed. He just...
Just keep on rocking on.
But because we listened and honored the time he was willing to give us, we gained so much more than just listening to his testimony.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, like here we are years later, still talking about it.
Right. But
because it was so impactful.
It was. And not just the story itself, but being able to have an insight into his life.
That's right. That's right. Because he told the story of like, this is who I was.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I came from.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I am.
That's right.
And that was the, you know, you come from here to here with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and recognize that he was there all along, but I was keeping away from him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Burns' testimony. You know?
Absolutely.
And he'll tell you that straight up.
Yes, he will.
But to hear it and to get the insight into his life of this was when, boom.
That's right.
You know?
Right. You know, to hear him talk about being in a clubhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go, hey. Will you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have had that happen numerous times.
Numerous times.
In numerous houses by numerous different people.
Right.
But to know that, you know, because look, we don't go and beat people over the head with a Bible.
Mm-mm.
Right? We're not in there preaching Bible verses. We're just hanging out.
Right.
We're just showing a light in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And If they ask, we're there for them.
Yep.
Right? But we ain't here to do anything other than that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's confusing to some people. Like, well, you're in a ministry, aren't you? Yes, I am.
Right.
This way.
Right? Yeah.
And because we're not doing that is when opportunity arises.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what happened with Bernd. He just started asking questions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And look at him now.
Look at him.
Right?
It's amazing.
It is a gift from God.
True gift.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
So it just goes back to that power of somebody's testimony and that power that you need to respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not be worried about telling your story.
No. It's not about you at that point.
That's right.
And their testimony is not about them. It's about God.
Absolutely.
And it's about God's power.
It's what God did in their life.
Exactly.
Right.
My testimony has nothing to do with Batman.
That's right.
It has everything in the world to do with God.
That's right.
And what God did for me, he can do for you.
Amen to that.
And wants to.
Is waiting for you.
Yep.
To ask him to.
Yep.
Not even, just waiting for him to, waiting, he is waiting for you to accept that gift that he has already given you.
Yep. Just,
right?
Just crack the door open.
Just accept it.
Yep.
If you accept it, you're going to have a testimony just like Bern.
Yeah.
Just like me, just like Rob,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But you have to accept it.
You got to accept it.
And once you do, the world changes.
It does. It really does. It really does. Now
it ain't easy.
It ain't sunshines, rainbows, and you know, and glitter on your candy canes.
It is not easy.
But it's better.
Yeah. No matter how hard it gets, it's better.
It's so much better.
Because I know I mean, I have eternal life.
Amen.
Right? This is just a period of time on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I die, that's when it starts.
Yep. Yep.
Right? My earthly body. Right?
This right here is just a rental.
That's right. That's right. It is.
It is.
It's terrible to say it like that probably, but.
But.
It's the truth.
It's the facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm.
Anything else you want to add to it?
Man, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I love the way that the conversation went and the way that we need other people in our lives.
Absolutely.
God never intended for me to be an island and you to be an island.
That's right.
Separated.
That's right.
God always intended us to be relational and relational with him.
Yeah.
And hearing the stories of other people and knowing how God transformed lives.
Yeah.
Brings us together to a point to where we can share that story of strength and hope and encouragement for other people that don't have that in their life or that still think that they're an island to be able to recognize the power of what God can do and the power that Jesus is in the glory of our lives.
I couldn't have said it better. The only thing I would add
mm-hmm.
is to have the right to listen to those, you have to get out of your house.
You do.
Right?
You do.
You can't. We were not meant to do this alone.
No.
Right? It's just adding on to what you said. We weren't meant to do this alone. We are meant to be in community with people.
With people.
And nobody is going to trust you with their testimony if they don't know who you are.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a relationship with you, they're not going to trust you.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Right.
And that goes back to what we do.
Yeah.
Nobody is ever going to listen to anything, you know, or come to us
absolutely.
And say, I'm struggling with this without knowing who we are.
Never.
And it doesn't.
Never.
It doesn't work.
No. Well, it's been a pleasure again.
It has been.
You know, again, you know, we said this last week. We say this every week. If you have questions or comments or thoughts, you need us to pray for you.
Or if you're looking for a church home.
Looking for a church home, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
And we will get back with you.
As soon as possible.
Absolutely, as soon as possible.
Yep. Remember, love God.
Love people.